we are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
It is true. It's Toward Anarchy, and I am Michael Storm. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, it is a pleasure to be here each weekend to chat with you. It can be a bit of a chore. It's a task each week to put something together, to think about it, to even give a damn. And then I remember I do it for myself, and then I remember that I get to have great conversations at least once a month with Dr. Dean Lloyd. And it's always such a pleasure to have a conversation with Dr. Dean Lloyd because quite simply put, it's an honest conversation. And you've heard me talk about this before. I'm so sick of having dishonest conversations that they change the topic and they move the goalpost and they use every sort of fallacy and misnomer and misconception and half-truth that they can to try to manipulate you, to convince you of something that oftentimes it finds that the conversation I'm having that they think they believe, that they don't really believe, that they don't really understand, and they're just the conversation gets loud and it gets heated and nothing is really learned or gained from the conversation. That's not something I have to worry about when I have a conversation with Dr. Dean Lloyd at all. And that's because there's no pretense. There's no lie. Neither one of us is trying to convince the other one of some falsehood. We're just talking about truth, and we're talking about people, and we're talking about our own selves and the way that we see things and the way that we deal things and the way that we find that it has worked for us and is successful. And so it's always a pleasure to have Dr. Dean Lloyd on, and he's here with us today. If you go to towardanarchy.com and look for March 19th, you can see, as always, the information is up there. I set the things up for you. There's a link to evolvingthespecies.com. That's how you can find out more about Dr. Dean Lloyd and the work that he's doing. There's also a link to get a copy of Cruising the Epiphany Highway, and that's just sort of the, you could say, textbook. It's not a textbook, but kind of using it in that sort of a way to just sort of pick topics and ideas and to pick the thoughts from. And you can get a copy and you can follow along with that as well. And you can join us in chat. There's always a chat room that we have set up there. And you can jump in there. You can chat with us. We're just hanging out in there. It's just that link that's there on the page. If you see it and you can click on it, then you can join us in the chat room. It should pop up on just about every device and allow you to chat with us. And also we're making a bigger effort to make sure that you realize that we're open and that we're live, that we do this thing live, and that we can and will take questions, especially if they're about the topic at hand. We're not necessarily interested in chatting about anything that we're not talking about at the time. Not necessarily, but we would prefer to stay on topic. And this week, it's pretty great. We've been talking about having this topic for a couple of weeks now, Dr. Dean Lloyd and I, and we're talking about sort of just cleaning up your act, and I'm thinking in terms of spring cleaning. It's spring, and I'm one of these people, Dr. Lloyd, that I can't work in a cluttered space. If you could see my pregame setup here before the show starts, the first thing I do is clean all my space up. I move everything around. I get stuff. It's not quite autistic. It's not quite OCD, but it's real close. I can't work in a cluttered space, and I can't keep my mind in a cluttered space. And so these are the kinds of things that I think of when I think of cleaning up my act. Because I certainly, as an anarchist, am not considering cleaning up my act in some sort of weird legal sense and authoritarian sense where I'm trying to make myself a good citizen necessarily. How you doing, my friend?
Hi, I'm fabulous, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you some of the ways that we can offer the listeners to clean up their act. So if I'm coming in clearly and no static.
Yeah, you sound great, man.
That's good. Very good. Okay, I checked my sound quality before I jumped on, and it seems to be working better. It's a little different setup than I had before, but I'm going to stick with this one. So I'd like to, if I may, just give my yearly perspective on cleaning myself up physically, because if you're unable to achieve a sufficient amount of sleep, the cleansing, restorative, and rebalancing abilities of your metabolism, it will be thrown off.
Man, that has been everywhere this week. That was even in mainstream news, a whole bunch of different articles and talk about people not getting enough sleep and how, and particularly Black people, in fact, and how that's one of the ways that they're disadvantaged to the white man, apparently, is because of they get less sleep on average than we do. An actual real thing that can damage your ability to function and succeed throughout the day.
Yeah, and it's quite important to note that, just picking on the sleep topic, that we need to reach those levels of delta frequencies and theta AB. There's different levels of brain activity that when you achieve reaching that level, the highest degree of restorative ability is achieved. So if you're not hydrated, for example, enough before you go to sleep, and you're not detoxifying. If you're not reaching the REM sleep, the deep delta frequency, then you're not detoxifying efficiently. And I want to focus the attention on how we routinely put ourselves in the position to detoxify, because I could talk about radiation exposure. I could talk about food not being clean. I could talk about the social environment being quote unquote a toxic one.
The air, the water, the
yeah. I mean, they're coming at us at every possible level. So what I do every spring, the spring equinox is where I usually start my fast, which starts on the 20th tomorrow and goes into, either a 3 to 10 day cleanse for me, and the fall equinox also. So those are the weakest times of your immune system. And I do medical meetings every month to my colleagues where I host the meeting and talk about several things. And I did do one last year on rational fasting, okay? And because I have a routine of this, my body becomes acclimated to the cleansing process. And the way I put my mind in this, and it's a little bit of a, I laugh at myself here, Michael, because I read cookbooks while I'm fasting. And Sunday at Moosewood restaurants, gastronomique, I've got these cookbooks. So by the time I'm ready to eat, I am more than ready. I'm just so excited. I can't wait to eat. but on the fasting topic, it's a discipline. And a lot of people are taking on the role of fasting when they've never done it before, that are dealing with this COVID S protein. I'm calling it COVID so people are familiar, but it's really the toxicity of the S protein that is produced by the DNA from those that have been injected with the adenovirus or the J&J, the Moderna or Pfizer vaccines that they're calling vaccines. But whatever the case is that they're dealing with a higher degree of toxicity. And with that in mind, people are more interested than ever now that they're having to resort to other ways of thinking about how to clean themselves out of this toxic inflammatory protein. It's got a lot of different negative pathways that it interferes with. But I want to remind people that this is just part of the normal, if you will say, cycle that our bodies are accustomed to going through to adjust to the seasonal shifts, okay? So that's the physical end of it, right? The fasting means not necessarily that you're just taking in water. Okay? There are ways of fasting that can be fine-tuned to your unique needs. One of them is using what we call in our field, in the naturopathic field, is we use medical food shakes quite often that detoxify the liver to provide nutrients, but facilitate the liver from cleansing, you know, for cleansing. And it takes a little bit of the load off the system because there's some protein in there and with amino acids, so you don't lose muscle mass. But this is just an introduction into how we approach cleaning our lives up, and we must address the physical one first. Because but what I'm saying is that if you're not properly taking in the clean water, the clean food, the clean air, all these things that are required for physical function, then you gum up the works and you can't think clearly, right?
But well, that's it, right? It's all tied together. The clear thinking, the clean space around you, the clean space within you, it's all part and parcel of the same thing in eliminating the unnecessary, the waste, quite literally.
Yeah, you can't live in your own waste. I mean, this is I have been seeing this over the years, how people allow toxic environment to control them, you know, take them over. I mentioned this to a neighbor friend of mine who was doing some spring cleaning, and he's next door, and he's a little bit older than me, and we get along, and I shared with him because I was cleaning the same time he was cleaning, but he had his wife in there cleaning out the storage area, and I motioned over to him. I said, "Isn't cleaning fun?" And he looked at me with this just exhausted look, you know, that, oh my gosh, I have to keep going and cleaning this out. And yeah, it takes effort. But one of the things that I do, because I've been doing this since my early 20s, I've been cleaning my internal house, and you can't clean a house and build a house at the same time. Okay. You should put your focus on one or the other, which you get the most out of. And when he gave me that look of being exhausted, I could see that the process of cleaning was not perceived as being a fun one or one that he looked forward to. I, on the other hand, doing it as many years as I have, I do look forward to it, but I have some ground rules that I put before myself before I do this cleansing. One is that I don't put too much on my plate when I'm cleaning house, when I'm cleaning my internal house, and that I am looking forward to the warmer weather and, you know, taking things that I had been putting off and addressing them one at a time, not trying to multitask so much. Because when you are fasting, you're not burning up as much energy. I sometimes have to turn up the heat or burn my my wood burning stove a little bit longer and keep the house warm. You know, I'm not generating energy like I normally do. So I typically drink warm water throughout the day. And and then what happens after the second day? Second day of fasting is typically the hardest because you're using the fuel stores, the glucose, and you're going into ketosis, right? That's where the fat is being used as a form of fuel. Your energy requires that you keep the brain active, so it needs glucose, right? So it needs to use a fuel source. So when you go through that process, you may go through several different symptoms, which is typical. Maybe it's the second day, maybe it's the third day, where you have a headache, you get obviously hunger pains and weak, you know, and sometimes achy. You know, you're kicking out the jams. You're mobilizing the toxins, right? So when that happens, and of course, I'm just giving you the physical side first, but when that happens, your body switches into a different mode of detox. It has to clear out because, as you've heard me say before, if it's not coming in, it's got to be what? Coming out. So with that being the target, your state of mind goes, oh man, I don't want to be overwhelmed with these phone calls, or I don't want to be doing too much in the way of project. So it's my suggestion that when you are fasting, you educate yourself on the fasting methods. All right. And that starts the process. I'm not going to go into too many resources here, but I do want you to know that there's several books out there. Fasting Can Save Your Life is one of them, that is aiming towards this detoxification and turning on the switches that deal with what? Toxic elements in our environment that are not only causal to inflammatory issues, but also cancer, right? P53 gene, for example, is the apoptosis gene. It turns on. And that is when we're exposed to carcinogenic substances, that's the gene that kicks in. And we've learned that with people that have been vaccine damaged, I'll just say that for simplicity, that Sloan's Kettering research had found that the P53 gene can be deactivated by this S protein. So I will make a point that it's now more important than ever to do a cleanse. And then if it's the most optimal time for you, as it is with the rhythm of the seasons, I suggest you do it during the spring and fall equinox. That's just my rhythm. You know, my body expects it. And I put myself in a state of mind that says, oh boy, it's time to cleanse. So I got my, you know, my shake, my schedule laid out. And like you mentioned earlier, you clean your desk, you know, you make it kind of a fun project where you turn on the music, you know, you won't make it a more suitable environment to make it clean. And then you go to it. And once you start it, it's you realize that you'll hit these walls. You'll hit times where, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Well, that's part of your learning curve, right? If you've done it for years, like I have, I've learned how to work through it. And that's been, it's been enlightening me because the deeper I go in my body, the more mentally clear I become, the lighter I feel. I'm not weighed down by the minutiae of life, the common burdens. So these are things that I'm presenting and we can go in other places, but I wanted to just launch it off with that to get your perspective and tell me how you feel and important.
Yeah, no, it's where my mind is at right now. There's another aspect of this in that you're talking about why you're doing this to not overburden yourself. And that's just something that's always on the back of my mind because my mind is not my own as much as it is. And I'll explain that when we get back from the break. We'll be back. We're talking to Dr. Dean Lloyd on Toward Anarchy.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Huge favor for both Dr. Dean Lloyd and I, and that's to support the network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and look for the ways there that you can support the network and help keep all of the voices across the network, the myriad, the many, many voices, the new and old and coming on now and then and there. And it's just an amazing place to be a part of. And Dr. Dean Lloyd and I are both very lucky to be a part of it, and it's thanks to you and your support for the network. So please do that. Excuse me as I start to choke to death here. A little coffee to wash it down with, I guess. I again, shoprbn.com or republicbroadcasting.org. Support the network. Click the donate button if you can do that, or get into the shop, like I say, and buy some of those products. Get some of that blackout coffee. Get one of those. I keep using this example because it's something that I do, and that's filter clean water and use it for a nice, clean, fresh cup of freshly grounded coffee. And I get fresh almost all my cups of coffee anymore. It didn't used to be that way, but almost all of my cups of coffee now are fresh ground. I would go to some of that stuff that's been sitting in a pot or sitting in a can for a little while. But one of the things in the stores is these little digital interfaces that ground it all for you right there and fast produce it. And it's just yummy. But that's just one way that you can help support the network and keep our voices on here and all the voices across Republic Broadcasting Network. And before I went into the break, I was talking about how my mind is not my own and how that's just a simple statement of that I'm not the only thing that I have to deal with. If I could just live in my own head for the rest of my life, it'd probably be a very short life, but it would be quite fantastic, I imagine, just indulging myself. But it's not realistic, and it's not what I do, and it's not what I would really want to do. I don't think I would really enjoy such a short and painful life. I kind of imagine that's what it's almost like, the rock star lifestyle, that the one that dies before they're 30, and it just I can just imagine that myself, that not being able to control myself. But my mind is, I have my family, and I have the business, and I have the show, and I have friends, and I have there's a million things that take my mind away. And one of the things that I it's been on my mind here recently is this idea that of when we take a break, that we don't take much of a break. We get days off from work and time off from school, and we catch these, but we just go to doing something else, some other occupying thing, some other pressing matter or seemingly pressing matter, and we don't take time off. And to your point, Dr. Lloyd, about clearing off the desk and making sure there aren't a bunch of things in your way as you go through this process of your cleaning.
Yeah, and let me remind everyone that pain, all pain, is blocked energy. Emotional pain, blocked emotional energy. And physical pain, of course, that's blocked energy. If you don't clean house, you will bring on more pain. This is not this is just not a hypothetical idea here. I'm telling you the way the body works. And when you are just burdened by a lot of tasks in your life, you've got, like you mentioned, your family, and you've got your business, and you've got to take care of yourself, and you've got others that depend on you. Those are done when you have the requirement, when you wake up in the morning, oh my gosh, I've got to get these things done. But when you are at a place, and I've achieved this, and I'm not speaking from arrogance, I'm speaking from understanding how the mind and body work together. But when you get up, these burdens are not great. I'm optimistic most mornings about waking up and where I put my energy and what I'm wanting to achieve. I'm putting together what I'm going to make for breakfast, and I go through my routine. But as I do, remember, part of being clean in your mind is realizing what you're doing on your daily maintenance to be clean. Okay? And that means, if, like you just mentioned, clean your clothes and brush your teeth and all the physical, requirements to keep yourself clean. But you're oftentimes so bogged down by the interferences. And this is perhaps the most important part of today's discussion, is that we allow these interferences to bog us down.
That's so, it, exactly. We allow them to have too much control over us, too much power, too much presence in our mind, and that it shows up physically. We've got to go back into a break here. We'll be right back with Dr. Dean Lloyd.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the Republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the Republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network, with your host Michael Storm.
Follow along, go to TowardAnarchy.com, look for March 19th, you'll see the link there to Evolving the Species and to pick up your copy of Cruising the Epiphany Highway. You can chat with us. I was just chatting with someone during the break. Just stopped in to say hi and thank you for the fantastic work that you do every month, Dr. Lloyd. I thought that was pretty cool. You can follow the show all around, and we're just sort of everywhere, just at Toward Anarchy. Type Toward Anarchy in any browser, even one of these smart browsers now, they released the AI to the AI chatbot version of Bing, their search engine, to everybody. They opened it up to everybody now, and now it's just a plug-in in your browser if you want it, and you can click right over there, and you can start talking to the chat machine. But it's just not the same, I tell you. They nerfed it. They changed it from what it was. It's open-ended original iterance or you know, whatever version of it was in between us and the original model for the language that's underneath the AI and these chatbots. So, at any rate, you can find Toward Anarchy very, very easily. We're not hard to find at all, and you can keep in touch by signing up on the newsletter. And as always, there's some things I share, and these are all just things that are relative to again, what's going on in the world and my own life and just the way I see some things. And I, you know, when I talk about having dishonest conversations, it's because I end up having them so often with people when it comes to important topics. It's literally happening right now. Somebody else I was chatting with, racism. There's this everything's about racism. Everything's racist. I want to have this happens to me all the time. Dr. Lloyd, tell me if this happens to you when you have these dishonest conversations that we have, if they follow a pattern for you as well. So what happens to me? It could be literally even the same person, an entirely different topic, but they'll do the exact same method of trying to alter the conversation, change the conversation, make it about something else. You'd be having a conversation about A, and they'll say that you can't possibly have a conversation about A because of B, and B is completely unrelated. It's not something that you can't. It's who plays baseball instead of how to play baseball. It's an analogy that I've used before. It's the if you don't know who Babe Ruth is, you can't play baseball. If you don't know who the head of the Federal Reserve is, you can't talk about fractional reserve banking. As if any of those things relate to each other in terms of the knowledge that can be gained from the other. And so you're trying to have a conversation with somebody about a fundamental a fact, a reality, something that is tangible. You can point to it. They even agree that it's a real thing. But as soon as you start to talk about it, because it doesn't fit their worldview, they have to move the goalposts. They change the topic. And racism is a big one. I hate to even use that one because I'm white and I can't talk about race. Racism is a huge one. So I want to talk about, if somebody wants to have a conversation about systemic racism, but they don't want to talk about the systemic part of it. It's right there in the word systemic racism. The first part of that is the system. So the system is the problem first before the racism. So if you deal with the system, eliminate the system, put the system in its place, the racism then follows and is put in its place. But they want to skip over that part when you say that. Because, oh, no, it's all about racism. And I can't – it's very hard to have any conversation with anybody about anything that's important, because as soon as something like that happens, somebody jumps in. So it's, oh, well, let's talk about something unimportant. Let's talk about, you know, comic books or whatever. that's the big one that they get me with. Oh, well, let's talk about Superman, you know, just because I own a comic book shop. Did we lose Dr. Lloyd? I guess.
No, you didn't.
There you are. Okay.
Sorry. Okay, no, I was talking and I didn't realize I was on mute. My apologies.
Yeah, well, you can sometimes tell that that's happening because I keep talking.
Well, I you're on a roll there, Michael.
Yeah, well. It's okay. Just one of these. It's part of the cleaning, part of the cleaning process. The reason that I come here and do this is part of keeping my head clean and keeping these thoughts and these things, some of these large topics, these weighty issues that we deal with on a daily basis in their place. As we were saying before we went into the break there, that these things need to be kept in their place. And frankly, they need to be marginalized for the small things that they are in terms of what they are. What they really mean to us. There's this larger picture of, you know, sort of banks collapsing and government being, government being what it is and starting wars and everything and how that affects us. But in reality, as individuals, when we put those things and those ideas in their places, they're very limited impact on us when we're concentrating on us and building our community and our lives around us.
Yeah, well, I've got a way to help you short-circuit anybody that wants to suck you into their trip. And that is I'm skeptical of anything negative, for one. And when they come at you with something negative, I ask them, what do you mean? Explain yourself. And war, banks, racism, these are all symptoms of the same problem. It comes down to the lack of understanding. Yes, we have biological differences. That's just the nature of, if you were from an African origin or an Aryan origin or Oriental or, you know, Asian area, you know, these are biological differences. We had to adapt to our environment. We had physical, you know, differences in this manner. But most people are locked into their perception of what it should look like. They're stuck. The ego matrix is one of the topics that I talk about, and that is your self-image. And what happens is it becomes an internal war that's externalized. They're not confident in themselves. They're not at peace. So what they try to do, and this is part of the toxic emotional response, is they try to suck you into their negative, which would be the draining side, and what doesn't make sense of their trip. You know, that you and I, like I say, the worst that they can do to you, they'll never fool you, Michael. They'll never fool me, for sure. They'll come in and try, but they won't. They don't know what happens when they can't push any of my buttons. they don't know what to make of it. And that's because the worst that they can do, they can never fool you, but the worst they can do is give you the tools to fool yourself. And we're too bright, we're too intelligent, we're too aware, because we know that if they're wanting us to be afraid, you know, feel fear, doubt, confusion, anything that anxiety, anything that makes us feel uncomfortable, it's something within us that hasn't been resolved. And it's gone so skyrocketing out of control, we've got it reaching, the critical mass stage where we're seeing the breakdown of the barter stuff, which is, you know, money is barter stuff. That's really all it is. Mm-hmm. Money's simple. It's not this complex, you know, derivatives and, all these stocks and things. I mean, these are investing things, but money in its essence is barter, okay? And we're going to have to grow up that money does not control us. It's not the ruler. It is our mind that is the ruler. And if we are able to understand just how important, look, there have been times when I've been broke, but I've never been poor, no matter what my circumstances, and as hard as they were to deal with, which have been many. But that's the point, is that we are wanting to clear ourselves of that toxic energy, so you remove yourself from it. Think of it as cleansing your environment, just like you're cleansing your body. I don't have time for that energy. If somebody comes to me, I'm in a healing capacity because I have some knowledge. I'm always learning, though. Don't get me wrong. If somebody shows me a better way, you know, I'll bow at their feet and say, okay, yeah, I'll be your student. But here's the game, is that what happens when someone comes to see me, I hold a safe space for them. But so very often they'll try to, you know, reinforce their trip on me, and I won't allow that. And if I see that there's an impasse, I won't be able to help them, then that's been their choice, because I'm offering them tools to break free of their indoctrination, their programming, their patterning that has not worked for them in all the years prior. Okay. So if that's the case, I have to be very clear about my direction on how I'm cleaning house. I say, okay, look, if I'm in charge, I'm not going to let you control the trip. I'm going to control it for a little while till you get it for yourself, because that's my job, is to empower you.
Yeah, we have all of these different levels of interactions with people and different importance to those interactions, but ultimately they all manifest themselves in a very similar way and can be dealt with. And I wish that I would finally get around to properly building my own tool sets myself. This is part of what you were just saying, is it's still the learning process, because the first thing that happens to me when I get into one of these conversations, and it is about cleaning house, because it is about cleaning out that toxic environment around you, those toxic ideas. And of course, this is always at my core when we're talking about state issues and anything relative to presumed and assumed authority. And so we have these different levels of conversation that of importance that ultimately they play out the same way, and depending on who they're with, we can exercise our own strengths in dealing with conversations a lot better. So somebody you don't know and you don't have some vested interest in should be the easiest person to talk to. But for me, it turns out to be the hardest person to talk to, because what happens is that they shift into that mode where they're externalizing the hate, the guilt, all of these negative emotions like you're talking about, and I immediately go to throw up my shields. I tell Mr. Scott I need full power to the shields. He's got to do something, and it can turn out pretty badly sometimes, because I get the way you turn up the shields is you get defensive, you prepare to strike back, you're I find myself in this place where I will let it's not letting them get to me. It's trying to keep them away from me is what it is. And then of course that's misunderstood. That's misplaced anger, as opposed to the defensive mechanism that it is that I want you away from me, and you're not listening to me, and you're not getting away from me. And I've said repeatedly that I don't want to do this anymore. I need you away from me, and you're not getting away from me. Do you understand why I'm getting louder?
Well, there's okay. That is a big topic. Maybe we should cover April communication. I'd like to discuss that very thing, because you're pointing out logic doesn't play into the negatively charged emotions. You know, people are going to have these feelings and they're going to justify it. Well, you make me feel like this because you said that and you did that and that's all your fault. And in other words, the projection of their not being centered or able to see it reasonably puts them in a defensive posturing, right? If you thoroughly understood how something works, there'd be no reason to defend yourself.
Right, and that's it. I don't understand these people. I don't understand, in the very face of reality, sitting there and trying to twist, not only for me, but for yourself, it into something that it's not. I can't abide by it. I live in a very grounded realm, maybe too grounded for some people in that sense. I'm very much a realist in that. That's too hard for some people.
Well, you can be challenged. Look, this is the part that we're bouncing this off of each other so that we come to a consensus or an agreement that this is the problem. right? Or this is the issue. How most people are not given the tools to protect themselves on this level. They've been reactive patterns. They've, you know, they're in their box minus one. They're usually not overcoming unless they have somebody or some usually support group. Sometimes you can do it on your own, but I suggest that we're here together to do it together. We're not isolated. We're not, and that's where very often people will insulate themselves and keep the outer world because it's too scary for them, you know, and that they look, there's times for that. Yeah. If there's, you know, bombs going on, or, you know, there's a storm outside or something, you got to protect yourself. But what I'm speaking to is where most people have been emotionally locked in to being, they buy into the trip that they have to have it just so. They have to have it look a certain way. They're not open to compromise when it's appropriate. They're not open to where they're, you know, locked into their mindset that's not really serving them. And this, you have to have, first of all, the willingness to be open to something being different for it to work. And that means that you have to clean out your mind so that you're capable of approaching what you're not resolved with, which you're not innerly comfortable with. And that's the emotional detoxing, so to speak, okay? And you're pointing out that you're around people that are emotionally, if you want to say toxic, yeah, great. They're emotionally toxic. But more to the point is they're confused, right? They're not understanding how to direct themselves into a productive solution. And that's what we're about.
Well, I think that they don't even realize that they need a solution. That's part of the problem. Is they, and we've talked about this before. It, this is extremely important in the healing process, is that the person has to actually know that they're hurt and actually has to want to be healed.
Yeah, that's key. You know, you don't, if you're looking in a test for blood clots, but you're not looking for amyloid plaque fibrils, you're not going to find it.
You're not going to find it.
You know, in other words, you've got to know what you're looking for. But one of the useful tools that I tell people very often is that, look, you can always put yourself in the student position and not get harmed by that. See, look, there's something I'm not clear on myself. And then you take the place of grace. You balance out that you are not... not in control of yourself, because this is what we're talking about, is giving people the tools so that they can do what they want with the energy that's provided them. You know, my job is to give you the tools so that you can have control. All these external, let's call them ways of controlling you, is controlling you by money, controlling you by food, production, controlling you by the environmental changes and where war is and all this kind of stuff. This is what's got people so mad. I know what humanity wants. Mm. They want the freedom of being able to have the mind to choose where to put themselves. In other words, pick up a pen or put it down. That's what freedom means. It's freedom of the mind. Everyone talks about what this is all about, you know. I constitutionally am free, well, because it says so in the Constitution. No, the Constitution may give you some guidelines to work within parameters that offer you some of these abilities to work within a certain framework, but it's your mind. It's where you are able to decide how you pick and choose where you put your energy, and there has to be fundamentally a purpose in all of it. You have to know your purpose if you know where you're headed. If you're experimenting and you don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it, you have to experiment a little bit to find out where it is that most suits you. And that's, we're right now at an experiment that is, it's dumb. I mean, we're doing things that are just not fortifying the human condition. The human condition should be just humming right along with these tools that I have to offer. That's, again, because I understand these things. But it's usual that it's always one faction tugging war with another faction, and that we get this conflict and bashing of heads. And then we're used to somebody telling us who's in a position of authority that usually doesn't belong there. You know, they're very oftentimes guiding you into their trip. And what you have to do is check and say, look, I might agree with some of what you're saying here, but this other stuff you're saying is not making sense. I'm not going to buy into that. So you, and part of the detoxification process is being a very good discerner, or someone who is good at discerning when it doesn't make you feel comfortable. And this is moving up the ladder of health, because the higher you go in health, the more these subtleties become aware to you.
Yeah, and sometimes the only way that you can gauge these things, because they are so, they are the incidents that they are, and they're obviously probably mostly fairly limited. If they weren't, we'd spend most of our time screaming at other people, is the reduced number of times that those things happen over over any period of time, in sort of years between the last incident.
Yeah, so let me throw out there that one of our jobs is being clean in our mind, and wanting to be clean in our mind is to be clean in our body, is to be the skillful giver. You're oftentimes put in a position where you have to decide how much energy you're going to invest in a particular area, right? You know, is this business really serving me? Is it serving my family? Is it serving what I'm trying to achieve here? So I've seen so very often that the mindset is that I am going to have to compromise my integrity to serve somebody else. And that is part of you've got to be good at discerning what's true to you. And your point about true conversations, it's so needed right now that we break the barrier of what really is making us uncomfortable. What's making us uncomfortable about ourselves that is causing these things to cascade out of control. And when we do that, we stop the energy that's feeding this monster of destruction. Okay? We stop it. In other words, that can happen anytime, because change is immediate. And if I'm speaking of an authoritative position, then I can take on whatever questions that your audience has for me, present them to me, email them to Michael, and then we'll bring them on up with the next show, and I'll address them if they're intelligent questions, because we're more than ready right now, in my opinion, for the new era of consciousness. We have to upgrade our way of dealing with our medical situation, our finances, obviously, our perspective. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater kind of thing. You can take what's useful, but what we have to do is lay a clear understanding of where we're headed for us to get healthy again, because that's half of healing, getting away from the disease. We've all too well described.
That's it. We're mired in it day in and day out. That's part of the thing that I was talking about earlier, in taking that break and making your time off a very real thing that you utilize for yourself to get some rest and to get some distance from all of these things. And that's just one. I mean, if people could do that just a little bit, that's just that much closer to having that clarity that's going to lead to those much more productive and easier to have conversations where we're being honest about what the true fears are, what the true reality of things are, and what it is that we're scared of, why we can't move forward. Dr. Dean Lloyd, as always, it is such a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. Take care.
Take care, my friend. And we'll talk to the rest of you next week here on Toward Anarchy.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.